Thank you, Brother Moran. It's good to hear Brother Moran pray. He was our pastor here for many years, and we're always thankful for the good work that he did here in our church, and we really appreciate him. Brother Danny Holland will be bringing our first lesson tonight, and that lesson is Crossing the Line Between Jew and Gentile. And I think that most everyone is familiar with Brother Holland. He's taught here before, and he does a great job, and we're really thankful that when he was asked to teach that he accepted and is going to share his lesson with us tonight. So I'm going to welcome him right now. Brother Holland would come forward.
Thankful to be here tonight. I want to say we appreciate each one that's come out tonight to be with us here at Fairview Memorial. I certainly desire your prayers, as Brother Wayne asked a few minutes ago if I had a lead on a song, and I said, well, not really. And I'm thankful that the Lord can bring us to a place where that we can feel His comfort, because the song He selected was He Leadeth Me. And that's what I need tonight. I need the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. As we talk, try to teach and preach on a subject, tonight we just know that we need the leadership of the Lord. So at this time we want to look into the Word of God as we would turn to the book of Genesis. The title of our lesson, as Brother Chuck said, is Crossing the Line Between Jew and Gentile. I believe that there have been many people that have probably devoted their lives to this subject and studied it for years and years, and there's still a lot of differences of opinion, no doubt. But as we look at crossing the line between Jew and Gentile, I think we have to go back to Abram, as he was first called in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. And then we find that later in Genesis 17 and 5, God changed his name to Abraham. Abram meant father of the faithful. And when he changed his name to Abraham, that being translated father of many nations. So as we begin tonight, we desire your prayers in Genesis 12 and 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to the land, they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. We'd like to stop with these few verses of Scripture. And as we think about Abram, and there may be times that I'll refer to him as Abraham, when maybe his name was still Abram, but I believe that the Lord had called this man from a place that was wicked. The Bible tells us that he came out from the Ur of Chaldees. In the 11th chapter of Genesis, the Bible tells us, and Terah, that was his father, took Abraham his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. Now, the Bible tells us that Abram was called of God, and if we were to look over in the book of Acts in the 7th chapter, the Bible teaches us that the God of glory appeared unto Abram in Mesopotamia before that he dwelt in Haran. And the Bible tells us, and he said, Get thee out. And when his father died, he moved to the promised land. So there was a process of a journey that Abram made from the Ur of Chaldees. And this was about, most people think, about 300 years since the flood. And as Abraham was a descendant of Shem, we find that there's a lot of history involved in this lesson tonight. And the Ur of Chaldees is where that Iraq is located today, in that general area. And as we think about this, even then, it was a wicked place. And the Bible teaches us, and Jeremiah had something to say about it, but it tells us that they worshiped many gods, and they had many idol gods, and they were a pagan country. And as God had chosen a national people to bear the Savior of the world, the Bible tells us in this third verse of the 12th chapter of Genesis, And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. It was a prophecy that through this nation, this called out people, that Christ would be born in a little town called Bethlehem. And these things that God has provided for us. I thought about while that we were singing that song, He leadeth me. The Lord led this nation that was called Israel. He led this country, and many times they turned their back on Him, but yet there was a remnant of people that the Lord would bless, and His promise would be kept, that this Savior would be born, this Messiah, this perfect sacrifice. and his name was Jesus. Now, as we think about this people, the Bible tells us, if we can look at this study tonight, and this is just going to be a brief and a simple study into a complex, and it's a diverse lesson. For the purpose of our study, the name Jew, Hebrew, and Israel will be used interchangeably. Hopefully, it will encourage you to study more on the heritage of the Jewish people and the Gentiles as well. Abraham was the initial patriarch of Israel, and the Bible tells us that Abraham, on God's command, the Bible said Abraham departed. And as God called him out of the Ur of Chaldees, and a little bit later as they moved up to Haran, called him out of there into the promised land to move on, I think there's a great lesson for us as Baptist people. I think that there's many times when that Abram went, that it speaks a great lesson in volumes to us as old-time missionary Baptist people, that when the Lord speaks, and as the song said, He leadeth me. God was leading this national people, a chosen nation through which the Savior would be born, through which God would entrust His Word, in which God would use to preach to the people, to perpetuate the truth. The Lord had a purpose, and He was leading these people. And I think we can see a lot of shadows and types in Israel. And as we think about this tonight, as the church of the true and living God, as a chosen spiritual people, I believe that the church of the true and living God is a people that God has chosen to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. And a little part of that is right here at Fairview Memorial, and our old-time missionary Baptist churches, our old-time churches that are standing for the truth. Now, the Bible tells us that He departed, and He went in the direction that the Lord would have Him to go. Just as Israel was a chosen nation, and I believe that God was watching over her and protecting her until this seed that was promised would be born. The Lord has a chosen people to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world until this Son of God comes back. And I believe tonight, as we think about crossing the line between Jew and Gentile, that these people that were the chosen nation, God would receive honor and glory, and they would keep His Word, and they would live His Word, and they would perpetuate His Word, and people could see this chosen nation. And I realize that they made many mistakes, and there were many troubles involved, but there was always a remnant of people that God insured and protected because His Son was coming through their lineage. I'd like us to look at just a few definitions before we go much further. Now, God promised a child to Abraham. We're not going to have time to get into a lot of of those things. It seems like a lot of my studies seem to point towards Abraham. And, of course, his name was Isaac. And he had a son by the name of Jacob, Isaac did. Abraham's life represented a life of pilgrimage. He was on a journey. He had no permanent home. And I really think that as we try to compare and contrast a chosen national people to a people that God has chosen, a spiritual people, we'll see a lot of shadows and types. We'll see a lot of parallels along the way. In Genesis 15 and 1, there was a covenant confirmation. And God said, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And as the church of the true and living God tonight, we still look to the Lord in faith. We still look to the Lord in obedience. And we're trusting in Him. If there's any good done here tonight, it'll be through the power of God. There's a lot of intelligent people that have dissected and they've taken apart and put back together the Word of God, but still don't understand the mystery of salvation. Don't understand the mystery of the church of the true and living God. In our definitions, the word Hebrew, the first time it was used was in Genesis 14 and 13, which says, "And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew." He was first called a Hebrew there. Now, I don't know all about what surrounds that, but this word seems to mean called out. It seems to denote that feeling of being called out of the Ur of Chaldees and going towards the promised land. According to Jeremiah 50 and 28, he tells of how evil these people were in their worship. God had called Abram from pagan lands to follow him into a promised land. So that word Hebrew so means. And another word that we often use when talking about the Jewish nation is Israel. Adam's grandson, or Abraham's grandson, and Isaac's son Jacob was given this name after wrestling with a heavenly messenger. In Genesis 32 and 28, the scriptures tell us, "And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." This nation descended from Jacob and his 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. And the nation would be referred to as Israel or Israelites or all of Israel. And also it came to be known as the Promised Land, the land of Canaan and Palestine. Sometimes people referred to the Hebrew nation and Israel as Jews. The chosen people of the earliest parts of the New Testament were usually called Israelites or Hebrews. But later in the Old Testament, as we see Jeremiah and Ezra and Esther and others, they begin to use the word Jew. It comes from the tribe of Judah. When the kingdom was divided, the 10 tribes of Israel formed the northern kingdom. The other two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, formed the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah was the tribe of King David and Jesus. The Apostle Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin. And it sort of just became a contraction of the word, or they were called Jews in that manner. Whether called Hebrews, Israel, or Jews, this was a chosen people. God had chosen them a national people through which the Messiah would be born. The definition of Gentile seems to be a little simpler. Simply put, this meant anyone that was not Jewish. These people were outside the promised covenant. They were usually idol worshipers and people who did not serve the true God, Israel's God. Some characteristics of God's chosen people: they were faithful. And as I think of this, I think about the churches that are represented here tonight, the members that make up her body. But God's chosen national people were to be faithful, obedient. They were to preach and practice the things of God's word, preserve the word of God, warn of the judgment of God. And the Bible tells us that they had an outward characteristic. The males were to be circumcised when they were 8 days old. While this was a required outward sign, the prophets still preached that salvation was a heart work. They put their faith and trust in the Savior that was coming. Just as we put our faith and trust in the Savior that came and died on Calvary's cross. The Jewish nation would show types and shadows of the Savior to come. This would be done by the sacrifices offered, the word of God that was to be heard from generation to generation, and the duties of the high priest, the judges, and the kings, the people there, as Moses led the Hebrew nation through the Red Sea, and all these things, we can see a picture and type of our Savior that was to come. Many times in the Scriptures, the lines between Jew and Gentile were crossed by those being led by the Lord. Jesus died for all. And while we talk about Jew and Gentile, I don't think we should ever forget that mankind, that we are sinners by nature, and that they got saved in those days, not because they were circumcised or not because they were born of a certain seed. We read in the Scriptures where that God is able to raise up of these stones, children to Abraham. And these people, they look forward to the promised Messiah coming. And they put their faith and trust completely and totally in the Lord. He was coming to this low ground of sin and sorrow, just as we look backward that He did come. So, God is no respecter of persons as far as the lost condition of mankind. Now, as we see in Hebrews 2 and 9, the Scripture says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man." And the Bible tells us He stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13 and 8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." And God's plan of salvation, it's always been a whosoever will plan. The Scriptures tell us in Revelation 22 and 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There are many, many examples in the Old Testament of how that this nation of Israel went out and preached to those that were Gentiles, and many of them were saved by the grace of God. And we have this commission today that's found in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. And it tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And I think that while it's not a direct quote that would match exactly, but when the Lord spoke unto Abram, he said, In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. He was talking about a Savior that was able to save the learned and the unlearned, the rich and the poor, the Jew and the Gentile, those that would come unto him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, trusting that God was sending his son, or that God had sent him and raised him from the dead. I'm thankful that in God's infinite wisdom, that he made a plan of salvation that was sufficient for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that would be born in from the very beginning of time till the end. Now, as he chose Israel to bring salvation, that is Christ, to be born into the world, the Bible, I believe, teaches us that God has this special chosen spiritual people. And I believe sometimes it's referred to as the bride of Christ. And I believe that it's made up of churches that still preach and practice like they do here at Fairview Memorial and other churches that are represented here. The Bible tells us that they've been left to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. And we're to love the Lord, live for the Lord, preserve His word and the plan of salvation for coming generations. It seems like I can see that there is much of a parallel between this chosen national people and the church of the true and living God. And I believe that we are to approach the Lord as we look back in the Old Testament, as Abram did. The Bible tells us when God called, He moved. And I'm thankful today that, it wasn't because they were a great nation, it wasn't because they were the most, but Moses in Deuteronomy said that they were a holy people under the Lord, a special people, not because they were more in number, but because they were, but they were the fewest in number. And God, it seems to me like, has always taken a minority of people and used them, people that love Him, that are faithful and trusting in the Lord and willing to obey for His honor and glory. Now, he said, Moses said, not because you were the most in number, for you were the fewest. And I think about how that Jesus, he said, Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the keys of the kingdom. And we find where that when, I believe it was Paul, in one place he said, I am the least of my brethren. And I believe that one of the prophets It might have been Micah, I'm not sure, but he said, "Thou Bethlehem, they're little in Judea." And when we can get to the place where that we're small in our own sight and that we are weak within and put our faith and trust, God can do great things through us as He did the land of Israel, as He did the people of Israel, and as He does today with the church of the true and living God. It's not because that we are the greatest in number that the Lord blesses us, but it is because that we are a called out chosen people. People that depend on the Lord for our leadership and our help. As we look just a little bit tonight, I want to look at about quickly three people that crossed the line between Jew and Gentile. I know there's many that could be included in this number, but one was the prophet Jonah. In the Old Testament, he crossed the line between Jew and Gentile. He was called to go to Nineveh, the Assyrian capital. As we think about being called to go to a place like that, it would be a very daunting task. As Assyria was a very destructive country, nation, and a few decades later, they would destroy as such Israel, that is the 10 northern kingdoms. There would be many that would be dispersed. The Jews would be dispersed in different parts of the world. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I think God had a hand in that too. And we think about the day of Pentecost and things of that nature. The Lord's ways are as far above ours as the heavens are the earth. As Assyria destroyed Israel, the divided kingdom of Israel at that time, Judah was still in its existence, of course. They were scattered throughout the other cultures. As Jonah was called to go into Nineveh, the Bible tells us that he found a ship bound for Tarshish. And we're not going to try to preach on Jonah because I know these preaching brethren and these good lay members here tonight have heard this preached on many times. But I want to look at Jonah when he had been in the belly of the great fish, or I believe God referred, or Jesus referred to him in the belly of the whale once, for 3 days and three nights. He got to the place where that he was ready to return to his true loyalty. And God can bring us to a place where that we can come back to our true loyalty to Him. And it said he preached the preaching that God bid him to preach. And I believe tonight that's most needful in this day and hour that we live. It's not so much that I could bring a lesson to impress you or anything like that, because I don't desire to do that. But I do desire, and so do these other preachers, to preach the preaching as God said that I bid thee. And whether it's in yet 40 days shall Nineveh be overthrown, or whatever the message is, if God is in it, it'll have its effect. Amen. The Bible tells us that the city repented and God saved them. I don't know all the details about that, but I do know what the Word says. And the Lord was showing His love for all mankind. All mankind. We read in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, about a man called Peter. He was known as the apostle to the Jews. But yet God used him to open the door of the church to the Gentile nation. You know, a lot of times the Lord works in mysterious ways, doesn't He? He took this apostle to the Gentiles, or apostle to the Jews rather, and worked with the Gentiles. And a little later we see where that He took Paul. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he had had three missionary journeys and many churches established through his work. But yet there were times when he would have a deep heartfelt desire to preach. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." So you may go somewhere, preacher, brother, and feel like that in your mind that there's a reason for you going there. But when you get there, the Lord may deal with your heart in another way. I think it's so important that we preach the preaching that I bid you. Peter, the Bible tells us, came to Caesarea. Cornelius had had a vision and sent for him. And at the same time, if you remember, Peter had a vision and it all came together. When the Lord's in the matter, all the pieces fit together. The Bible tells us he went and preached to the Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit, he preached unto them Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit fell on them and they spoke in tongues. Don't you think that those Hebrew brethren there, wasn't too many days before that, that they're on the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Ghost fell on them and they spoke in tongues. And when they recognized that, they could not deny that God was in the matter. Paul preached at Mars Hill, preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. The Bible tells us that he confronted the philosophers, declared unto them the unknown God, preached repentance, and he preached about that man Christ Jesus. He said, "God will judge the world in righteousness by the living word." That man was Christ Jesus that he was speaking about. Even though that Paul was successful in his preaching, as he went to Mars Hill, he didn't necessarily see the success that he desired. However, he went right on preaching the Word of God. Crossing the line, we're running out of time, and I want to say that many times you and I must cross the line to be effective in God's work. We have to reach out to our family and to our friends and neighbors, to the unknown and even to our enemies. In closing, nothing in this life is more important to God than the salvation of a lost soul. God is no respecter of persons. In order to escape hell and live in heaven, people must be saved. I'm thankful for the remnant of people, the national people, the country of Israel. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for the church of the true and living God tonight. One day after a while, in Ephesians 4:2-14 says, "For he is our peace, who hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." I'm thankful that we are the spiritual Jews. We have the circumcision of the heart. I'm glad tonight to be here. I'd ask your prayers as we go from place to place, crossing the line between Jew and Gentile. It's a lengthy and a subject, but I pray that God would bless you with a thought or two here tonight. So may God bless you is our prayer.